Calling all nerds. This is More Than Dice, the podcast where we dive deep into the realms of everything nerdy. Whether you're a nerd culture connoisseur, a tabletop titan, a miniature gaming marveler, or just someone who proudly embraces their inner geek, this is the podcast for you. And now here's your hosts, Gonzo, John, and Nerd. Oh, and sometimes Mizzy.
Welcome back to another episode of More Than Dice. I'm Gonzo.
I'm Nerd.
I'm Captain Mizzy.
And John is off for the night. He wasn't feeling too well. He was like, I need to rest. And we're like, hey, take some time. Rest it up, because that's what we got to do. Got to take care of ourselves. Welcome to episode 298. And we are going to be talking about online tools to use for role-playing games. Because I don't use them a lot, and Nerd uses them 99.99999% of the time with her RPG stuff, and of course, agreed. Captain Mizzy uses them too, and that's how she plays most of her games, type stuff. So we were going to talk about that. Before we do that, we got to get to the business. We want to thank Turbo Dork for sponsoring the channel. If you like metallic paint or turbo shifting paints, make sure you check them out. I will be painting up some models pretty soon with Turbo Dork paints. I'll be airbrushing them on because I like the way that that works. So don't forget to check them out. We want to thank Creature Caster, aka also you makers of Judgment, and Cuttlefish Colors. Don't forget to check out their paints and their models. And if you have a 3D printer and you want some good 3D printed models and a fifth edition module to go with those, make sure you check them out on their My Manufactory page. Like I said, it's Cuttlefish Colors, good sponsor, and they provided some really good paints for us to use. we also want to thank my Midnight Heroes for sponsoring the channel, makers of good chibi models and also a chibi miniature game. So make sure you go check them out. We want to also thank Muse on Minis for hosting our channel and putting it out for everybody. You should make sure you go check them out and check out their products. Nerd wanted to make her own floof so she could have her own ears.
Yeah, floof.
Nobody ever redeems it but Mizzy.
So she redeemed it herself. Hey, you just got to be, you know, popular like me. And everybody forces you to wear ears all the time.
Nerd's popular. We just like roasting you more.
It's accurate.
Well, y'all can roast me all you want. Spend those points. I think I'm going to increase it to like 3,000.
You just dropped it back down.
I think you should bring it up to 4,000.
You or not.
Six, Cookie. Six. Count.
So, let's see. We do have a shout out this week, and it was happened today. Bernard Hill.
Mm-hmm. Bernard Hill.
Bernard Hill. Most all of us know him in the nerd community as Theoden. He was
Lord
also
of the Rings.
Yeah, from Lord of the Rings. And he was also in Titanic, but most of us know him for that.
Just
because
Theoden.
How can you forget his speech from the before the charge and everything?
Yes.
That was going to, yes. That was such a he will all. I'm going to tell you right now. No matter what role he did in the past or whatever, he's going to be remembered for that role.
That's his most iconic role.
Yeah, he most iconic not only in picture but in sayings. You name it. He's going to be. And that's where I'll remember him on from here on out. I didn't know what the reason was. It was just old age or whatever, but nobody.
Yeah, I knew he was up there.
Yeah. They didn't sound like he, tragic ending or whatever type thing. So
no.
Want to let things come out. But sad to see him go. Long live King Theoden. And the Charge of the Rohirrim. I know a lot of people are playing that right now because that was his iconic thing. Do we have anybody else that we need to give a shout out to?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't either.
Think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think there was much going on.
It's been a quiet week.
It is. It's been quite a bit. Let's get to the most important part of the podcast. Nerd, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Unicorn Fight Club Raspberry Sour Ale from a local brewery.
Okay.
Love that.
Mizzy?
I am hydrating with some blue Gatorade that I mixed up because hydration.
I'm doing the hydration too with some H2O.
I should be with how much I drank last night at that Star Wars party.
So, yeah. Arna Michael is drinking some blue milk in honor of the holiday. Yes.
We tried to get some, but they were totally out at the store.
You have to make your own. Just do some food dye in it.
That's what I told my husband, but he said it's vanilla flavored. So it was like a special edition that comes out every year.
Oh.
So get some vanilla flavoring and put it in there with the food dye. It's not that hard.
I tried arguing with him. It did not work.
So for the people that don't understand, yesterday was May the 4th, and today is Revenge of the Sith. So that's the reason why I brought out my red lightsaber. If you were in the pre-ramble, you got to see it and hear it, so it's there. Other than that, really, it's been kind of a quiet week. I mean, I didn't do a lot of stuff either. I did some reading and some getting stuff done, so...
Cookie hurt
your soul because it talked about Spock.
Yes.
So, all right, guys, like usual, please take care of yourself. Please take care of each other. I mean, we've got to look out not only for ourselves, but for everybody else around us. Make sure that, you know, you're doing what you need to. Like I said, if you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. If you can do something, do something. And if you can't, find some will, because we've got to look after each other. Cheers.
Cheers.
So, Art and Michael, it is a lot of finals weeks for a lot of college people right now, or people that edit. So, you know, they are going through their last minute hell. Although I do, every time someone talks to me about, you know, finals week, I remember, when I was in college, I had a final 1 year, and for people who don't know, I got my teaching license, and one of my finals for my art class for teaching art to children was so freaking hard. I mean, I had to actually do it at home and bring it to school. It was so hard. My final was how to make homemade Play-Doh. I got graded on how well I made homemade Play-Doh.
Wow.
Yeah.
My daycare person would make homemade Play-Doh for us. Yeah. Because she knew we were going to eat it anyway.
Yeah. That was my final 1 year when I was taking art for elementary kids. And my final was make homemade Play-Doh and bring it in. I was like, okay.
That's a nice, easy final, though.
Oh, yeah. It was very easy.
Because salt dough is not hard.
So I had to do that. But, so other things that happened around before we get in our topic. I know that there's a lot of conventions that are starting up. We have summer coming right around the corner. So we're going to have a lot of kids, a lot of video games. I know that... the new expansion to Final Fantasy 14 is coming out. I will probably be doing some streaming of that because they're not only is it, you know, they're increasing the level gap to level 100. They're having two new jobs come out. The Viper, which is a dual wielding character, which is cool as shit. And then the Pictomancer, which is you play a ranged magical class that uses a paintbrush. to fight with. and it looks pretty interesting. There is an Elden Ring expansion coming out. There is a new Star Wars game coming out, but I'm waiting for reviews before I even touch that thing because I'm not too happy about it. also, if you were playing Helldivers 2 and you were doing it on Steam, you now can get a refund if you'd like, no matter how long you've been playing it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because of all the connection issues?
No.
Among
Sony decided to tell everybody that if you wanted to play Helldivers 2, you had to have a Sony PSN account.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it has tanked Helldivers 2 so bad that in, I think,
That explains the memes I've been seeing.
Yeah. I think in 3 days it went from overwhelmingly positive to overwhelming negative on all reviews. And the developers have no say in it. So they're like, hey, guys.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. We can't stop this. So it's up to Sony to either say that or not say it. Because, I mean, that's pretty bad to have it after you've had the game come out type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some high quality bullshit.
Oh, yeah. And like, Steam is refunding people their money. Because that's bullshit. R. Michael says his summer project is to remake Gauntlet and Two Engines, along with Barry and myself in commissions. Like, no games for me. If you're making Gauntlet, I will tell you, I have shoved more quarters into a machine than Gauntlet in my entire life. There is one game I was constantly putting stuff in, because that thing was never ending. I mean, we played the hell out of some Gauntlet. I mean, the old school Gauntlet. Warrior needs food badly. I mean, that's all I did for a summer as a kid, was shove quarters in a machine for Gauntlet. Because that was the closest we got to good D&D stuff. So, but yeah, it made so much money. So, like I said, summer's coming up. There'll be some summer things coming. Is it next week? No, in 2 weeks, Captain Mizzy and I, no. Yeah.
2 weeks, I'll be gone. Or no,
the
3 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yes, I will be gone that weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be in Ohio.
Hey, you'll be near me. We're in Ohio. No, we're... so,
Idaho.
What was it? In next month, Captain Mizzy and I are going to a convention. We're going to report on convention. That's a local. It's a big old anime nerd convention, so we're going to be reporting on that. Like I said, we'll probably do some streaming, some video games. Nerd and I will do our Wednesday thing when we can. And don't forget, our 300th episode is 2 weeks from now, and we're going to be doing a one-shot RPG, couple of hour and a half, whatever type things that Nerd can try to get us through. we will do some posting on Facebook about our characters. I will definitely be posting about my Facebook. posting about my character on the Facebook page. Because my character is done and complete. Type thing. So we'll be needing to do that. So be prepared. We'll have some cool stuff going. Let me go and get the camera ready and set up. And we're going to talk about like online resources first before we talk about like favorite characters. Because we could go on and on and on about favorite characters.
We can spiral very easily.
Yeah, we can spiral very easily on that. So let me go ahead and get... of course, Cameron wants to be a little bit of a turd this morning.
So the first one I'm going to recommend, especially for if you don't want to deal with D&D Beyond, 5e Tools... 5e.tools is probably one of the best sites out there. You can access pretty much all existing content. Now, you won't be able to have the interactive character sheets you can make, Like, they've got races, classes, feats, spells, stat generators. They've also got adventures, books, quick references, bestiaries. They've got a DM screen, loot, and challenge rating generators. They've got almost everything that you could need to start. Like, it's a really great resource, especially, again, if you don't want to have to give wizards money. Not that we're saying that you shouldn't give wizards money, but we all know how they are.
We're saying you have options.
Yes, you have options. Another one that's great, whether you're doing stuff or if you're looking, whether you're doing stuff in person or online, DM's Guild is a great resource for, like, free modules, one-shots, subclasses, races, like, all sorts of different stuff. Like, people submit stuff, and there's so much free content on there. There is stuff available for purchase as well, but they have an ample amount of free content.
Other content creators.
Oh, yes. One
for me. Like,
yes.
TikTok, Reels, everything. Get on the right side of that nerd stuff. You find all kinds of goodies.
Mm-hmm.
I found the idea for a pocket tree in one of them. Use that in our Icewind Dale game for a little bit.
Nice.
Not sorry.
I'm going to put this one in the chat. This one I just called Donjon. It's an RPG tools site. They've got everything from world generators to maps, treasure generators, just straight up fantasy stuff. They've got stuff specific to Pathfinder, 5th edition, 4th edition. They've got sci-fi, like every genre and bit of stuff that you can think of, they've got different generators for. Like, you can even create a magic shop or, let's see, XP calculators, initiative trackers, all sorts of stuff. So, I like it for the random dungeon generator, because if you want, like, a specific shape or terrain or things like that, it gives you, like, a Dyson-style map where it looks, ooh, it's more of that hand-drawn kind of black and white feel.
Okay.
Yeah. My other favorite one, medieval demographics, something that you wouldn't necessarily think about for like a homebrew or something like that. If you need specific information, or they've got like in generators, all kinds of stuff. If you are wanting to create your own content and want to make it if you want it to be in that D&D style, the homebrewery.naturalcrit.com, or sorry, homebrewery, not the homebrewery. I'll put this in chat as well. It allows you to create PDFs that you can edit in the style of like regular D&D published content. So if you wanted to make your own, to say put on DM's Guild or something like that, that is available to you. Fantasynamegenerators.com is another one that I use.
I think a ton of people use that just for quick and easy names.
For the names, yes.
Yeah.
And then something that I like to do with that one is generate different names, but then pull parts from what they've given me to make my own.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And they've got pop culture. They've got real names, and you can pick from different areas around the world to get like different regional names. They've got fantasy folklore. They've got places and locations. They've got description generators, all kinds of stuff. Let's see. Or especially for online, if you were using a 2D map builder, like, or not map builder, VTT, virtual tabletop, like Roll20 or something. Rolladvantage.com has a token stamp where you can load in and create your own round tokens so that you've got a uniform look for everything. You don't have to have like a full squares full of, you can crop stuff into its own token. Tabletopaudio.com is a great resource for background or ambient sound, music, that can be used both in person or online. It has a shareable link so that everyone is hearing what is playing at the same time without having to load it into Roll20, which Roll20 does have its own music and ambiance, but they have a very limited library. Tabletop Audio has a much larger library, and all of them are like 10 minutes and you can just loop them. Let's see. If you are needing roll tables, like say you want villainous traits or medieval village notable features or things of that variety, dndspeak.com has tons and tons of D100 roll tables. Like, they've got potion generators, NPCs, herbs and plants, taverns, like all kinds of stuff. Murder mystery plot hooks, 100 different arrow types, like anything that you could possibly imagine, they've probably got a roll table for it. I think that's it for what I've got. This went way faster than I expected.
Well, I mean, so here's the thing that we need to talk about. We've got all these resources. Mm-hmm. Which ones are free?
All of them.
All of them. I don't have to pay anything for any of them at all.
No. All of these are free resources for you to use as a DM. 5e Tools is the big one because it gives you access to content without having to own the books or digital content from Wizards.
So what's the benefit of using, you know, D20 of using Beyond 20 and using, you know, Roll 20?
D&D Beyond, Roll 20 is an extension that allows you to roll directly from your character sheet that you've built in D&D Beyond directly into Roll 20 without having to rebuild your character sheet and manually enter in all the information, because you have to pay for content on a Roll 20 if you want that stuff available to you and your players. You can build basic characters in D&D Beyond if you were in a campaign where your DM is sharing their content. That gives you access to the books that they own when making characters, which is really nice. And you can look up stuff in between sessions. Like, I have access to books that one of my DMs has that I don't own, like Dragonlance or the new, was it the Realm of Giants?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Also, check out, what is it? Oh, now I'm trying to remember. Is it something, Owlbear Rodeo? I believe is another free VTT.
You got me. This is your expertise.
Owlbear.rodeo is a quote unquote more bearable virtual tabletop. it is also free. Do they have a paid tier? Yeah. So the free one gives you access to all of the tools. You can make up to two different playrooms, so you can have two games going. and 200 megabit of storage, which isn't a lot. Megabytes of storage, not a ton, but it's way cheaper than right now. It's, I think, 30% off. If you go yearly, you get like 20 or 30% off the different paid tiers, which gives you more storage, more rooms, whatever personalized rooms means. But that's one I know about. Above VTT is another extension that you can install that you can sync up with your D&D Beyond character sheets. And so basically it imports your character sheet into the VTT and allows you... I haven't run it myself, but I've played games in which it was run. But it's another, I believe, free VTT that's available where you can load in basic maps and stuff like that. If you were wanting to make maps, or if you're looking for digital maps, personally, our battle maps on Reddit is probably one of the best resources out there. You can also find great content creators. Like, if you want to go support their Patreons, there's lots and lots of Patreon map makers on there, but you can literally just drag images from there into Roll20 and upload them. So, but map makers, there's so many map makers out there. Incarnate is a big one. Wonder Draft. Now, most of these are behind paywalls. They do have free. I know Incarnate has a free tier, but excuse me, you're limited on the content access. So
compared to paid virtual tabletops, like Foundry is a paid rate.
So is
how would they compare?
I haven't personally used Foundry, so I can't personally compare those. Because I know a lot of people who like Foundry, that use Foundry. Some people prefer the 3D tabletops like Tales Spire or RPG Stories just came out. Dungeon Alchemist is another big one that's out there. I think most, if not all of those, are on Steam. Which, let me pull up and see what there is available on Steam for that kind of stuff. There is a free one on Steam that somebody made called Rolls and Dice, R-O-L-E-S. That's another VTT. Tabletop Simulator, I know a lot of people who use that. I think that's about all I've got for virtual tabletops. If there's another one that you know of that I'm not thinking of, please feel free to tell us.
Give us all the nerd.
Which ones have you used personally?
I have used Roll20 almost exclusively. But that's because that's the one I know. I've been playing around a lot with Talespire, but I haven't. It's one that requires everyone to own their own copy, or I'd have to stream it, like, two different versions of it to my, like, I would have one version that I'm running and another version running that my players would use. So it's a little complicated. I do have Dungeon Painter Studio, which is another map maker. That one is $15. It's one of the cheaper ones on Steam, RPG Stories is less than $20. Yeah, Fantasy Grounds.
So I've done Fantasy Grounds.
Yeah. And I guess Easy VTT is like $5. That's another big one that came up. But yeah, Dungeon Alchemist, I know, is another big one that's becoming popular for, in terms of 3D map makers. The thing, I actually kickstarted RPG Stories because it's their drag and drop rooms. You don't have to build all four walls and the floor. You can just drag and create a room. Click, drag, and create a room that all connect to each other. And they've got tons of content available from anything from cyberpunk to sci-fi to fantasy to modern settings. So they've got a lot of different options there. Let's see, what else have we got? If you are wanting to homebrew your world and want to make a wiki of sorts to share with your players, World Anvil is a big one. They have paid tiers, but they also have a free tier with plenty of options that you can use. I used that when I was initially making my first homebrew campaign. If you are using Discord and D&D Beyond, Avrae, A-V-A-R-A-E, is an extension that allows you to roll into Discord from your D&D Beyond character sheet. I know a lot of people who use that. Let's see.
Well, she's pretty much done.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I think that's... Otherwise, go to Reddit. Reddit has so much content, and you can, like, look up and see what other people suggest or experiences that they've had and look at reviews of stuff. But there's so much content on Reddit, too.
Yeah. Oh. It's filtering through everything, because yeah, even on TikTok and Reels and everything, like, there's just so much content out there that you're like, okay, what's gonna work for me?
Yeah, exactly.
I finished Stone Guy a little bit before the show.
Ooh, he cool. Nice. I like the red eyes. Oh, isometric maps. Sorry, I just saw that from there is a designer on, there is a creator that I found through our battle maps on Reddit that does a lot of isometric style maps, and they're really nice. There was another VTT that I'm completely blanking on what it's called. Oh, One Universe, I believe, that you build isometric maps in there.
So I have a question for you. If I don't want to use Roll20 or any of the apps that, you know, I don't want to do, you know, maps and stuff like that. I want to do more Mind's Eye Theater stuff. Is there places that just have straight dice rollers?
Yeah.
That are like shared group dice rollers, you know, that way everybody can see everybody's dice, is no matter the system, just dice rollers.
I can Google it.
I'm asking you this because something came up. So when I was running my Star Wars campaign, we were using the
Google has one. Not that everybody would be able to see, but there's...
That was the kicker that we had. We finally found one because...
Rolladie.net.
Star Wars uses... The FFG uses a different dice system, so it's not like D20, D10s. and such, and we had to use a certain dice roller. And I was able to find one. But that seemed to be, like, the biggest thing that we had was trying to find just straight dice rollers. Because while we were playing, we didn't want to do maps. We didn't want to do any of that stuff. We just wanted to see each other's dice roll and use more of the Mind's Eye Theater type thing. Type stuff. And that seemed to be the biggest issue, was finding, you know, just dice rollers that everybody could see each other's dice rolls. So.
Do you remember what you ended up using for that one?
I think it's defunct now because nobody really is playing that system anymore.
That's unfortunate.
But, yeah. One of the better Star Wars systems. But that seems to be a thing that I had issues with, was finding a just straight dice roller. Because that's all we wanted to do, was have where everybody could see each other's dice rolls. Type thing.
There are, like, Discord bots and I'm sure other, like, browser extensions that exist out there that you can use for that. I don't know personally. I know a lot of people who use Avray if they're using D&D Beyond, but in terms for other systems, my knowledge doesn't really extend beyond D&D. Sorry.
Yeah, that was the thing that we had an issue with, was trying to find stuff for other campaigns and such. And, you know, the making of the character sheets in D&D Beyond, and then, you know, using the, you know, the automatic dice roller automatically calculates all your bonuses, which is great, mm-hmm. especially people that are kind of new to the system. Makes it a whole lot easier for people, especially if they don't know how to calculate everything. And so that to me, I think is very, very needed, especially for newbies. Yeah. Type thing going on. So
if you are looking at other systems, Demiplane is also a great one for character sheets. And I don't know if they've got, I'm looking at this in terms of, they've got Daggerheart, Alien, Avatar, Pathfinder, Marvel Multiverse, Vampire the Masquerade, Candela Obscura, Mutants Year Zero, Starfinder, 5th Ed, and Hunter the Reckoning. So they've got a large variety of, well, not a large variety. They got a small variety of stuff. But they've got character builders in there that I believe you can see. I haven't quite figured out if we can connect character sheets yet through like a campaign like they have in D&D Beyond, but I've been playing around with that for our Daggerheart campaign.
Yeah, because that seemed to be the issue that I ran in when I was trying to do, well, just finding just a straight die roller, because some people, you know, we wanted to see what everybody was doing, but we didn't want to do through Roll 20 because it doesn't use, because it didn't have the die system for the FFG system, and so it became a real pain in the butt. We eventually I found one, and it was just a website, and so we were able to push it through there. But I could see how that any other systems you've got to try to figure out, because everybody wants to see the other people roll their die, because everybody wants to go ooh ah, you know, type thing. Yeah. Because it's just something fun and interesting. So everybody wants to see when you critically fail, or when you, you know,
or when you roll straight threes for the entire game.
Yeah. GitHub has dice rollers that I'm sure would work as well.
Yeah, the one thing that we had a problem finding was there was a dice roller, sure, but it didn't let you have group dice rolling. It would be just me dice rolling, and you couldn't see what I was rolling, and I couldn't see what someone else was rolling, which was, you know, not what we were looking for. That was, you know, one of the big issues that we ran into. Not that big of a deal. We were able to fix it and get one, but that seems to be, like, the biggest issue is finding.
When you want to play something not D&D.
Correct.
Requat, welcome in. We're doing good. We're talking about online resources for RPGs.
Ooh.
And then we're going to talk about some D&D characters while Mizzy and Gonzo paint.
Well, not
stiff.
Only D&D characters, just characters, period.
Well, yeah, characters. RPG characters.
RPG characters. But that was the one thing that we found that was a problem was trying to find die rollers that were party die rollers, not just, you know, single type thing. And don't get me wrong, I will always want to do in-face RPGing over, you know, doing online, but don't get that
but
luxury.
Not all of us are not that fortunate to have that experience, Gonzo.
Correct.
And, you know, you get people like me who are getting introduced to the game and all they have is an online option because they can't find people to play with.
Yeah, very much so. And that's I'm sure that when COVID hit, that really shot up everybody's, you know, need for online rollers and online things.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Type thing, so.
It doesn't help when all your friends live hundreds of miles away from you either.
Yeah.
Right.
Or
nerd.
Thousands of miles in terms of some of my players.
Just a whole other continent. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was. This is not a slam. You've got to find the right person to run an online RPG because it's not easy. And if you have someone that doesn't know how to do it right, it gets boring very, very quickly.
Yeah, because you have to be balancing potential tech issues with the VTT plus all the time building the maps, getting the tokens. Like, it's also, depending on how much you want to put into it, it's not cheap either. There's a lot of ways to do it for free. But depending on how much you want access to and how hardcore you want to go,
how
it can
dedicated
add up
to
fast.
This are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot.
No. I'm not bored in Nerds Games.
Yay.
There's a lot of people that, you know, they just think it's push a button. Because, I mean, I don't know how many times I'd run an online one and something would break or the module wouldn't load correctly. And it was just, you know, it was a lot of tech issues to get everything running. And eventually it did. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to think of before you decide you want to do online. And there's a reason why there's people that get paid to do online RPGs.
Oh, yeah.
That get paid to, you know, run games. And, you know, you expect a certain, especially if you're paying for someone to run an online game, you're expecting a certain amount of
professionalism.
You know, professionalism, best way to put it, yeah. Without being, you know, total on that. Because, I mean, there's a lot of things that go to doing an RPG.
Yeah.
An online RPG. And a good one. Especially if you got someone who's doing sound and, you know, lighting effects within the game. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
You just have to find the right people, but it takes a bit. But yeah, that was when COVID hit. I'm sure that they got those services got hit pretty dang hard.
Oh yeah, that was also when Beyond 20 launched. Was right when was right around the beginning of quarantine, which couldn't have been more perfect timing.
That extension is everything, honestly.
Yeah. It takes a little bit of setting up on the front end, and then you're golden. For the most part. Assuming it decides to work. Sometimes it decides, you know, like any program, it's going to have the occasional glitch, but sometimes it's just uninstall, reinstall, and you're good to go.
sometimes.
But it's free.
Just like anything else.
Technology is our friend.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Technology is great when it works.
Yes.
So, yeah, because, I mean, that was... A lot of us don't have, you know, people near us that we can run games. So that's the reason why we were... You know, I was like, we got to figure out something to do this. And I personally, I don't want to run any more online games. I just want to run in person. But there's always that, you know, problem of trying to run an online game. Or trying to run an in-person game and an online game. Online yeah. game, you can guarantee, you know, okay, you're most likely going to be there for most of it. But in person, life.
Yeah.
And finding people in person. That's the kicker.
To quote one of my players, the nice thing about an online game is you're not required to wear pants.
Well, you could have that too in your real life one. It just depends on how comfortable everybody is.
Yeah, that is true.
So.
Yeah, especially if you don't have cams on. Like, the biggest downside to an online game, especially if you don't have cams on, unless you have gotten to know the voices of your fellow players and how they tend to be, the lack of facial expressions can be really difficult for people.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There is something to say about people that, you know, you can go, you know, especially whenever you do something in game and people can mm-hmm. see it. And
yeah.
you can see them going, oh, shit, or, you know, whatever. That is always, you know, the thing. But and there's also something about rolling your own dice, seeing your own clock rolling. But
it does tend to make you describe things a lot more than you would.
Normally,
yeah.
yeah.
Also, controlling your players from running all over the board.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I wouldn't have a single idea what you're talking about there, nerd. Not at all.
You're one of the good ones.
No,
you're one of the ones that you behave.
I know who you're talking about, though.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, because whenever I was running online stuff, it was a pain in the butt to keep them from running around the board whenever something was going on that they shouldn't be running around the board with. You're like, guys, you're not supposed to be doing this. Quit moving around. All right, yep, I'm just going to lock all your stuff down. You can't move at all.
Perfectly honest, that was an issue I had with my other group.
I'm like, I'm going to lock everything down, and only I can move your stuff.
Yeah.
Which became, you know, a pain in the butt.
Yeah. One of the nice things about going back to Talespire, if you do not want to have to build your own map in Talespire, there is... I want to say it's called Tales Tavern. Let me double check. TalesTavern.com. User submitted maps and things that people have built. Like, I have an entire Skull Island that somebody made that you can just upload directly into the game.
Nice.
Yeah. But that's the, like I said, I have yet to ever run a 3D virtual tabletop with players. I've just played around with building so far.
Well, I know, wasn't TSR, or not TSR, but Wizards of the Coast supposed to be doing a 3D version?
That is supposedly coming. They do now have a maps asset that is available. I don't know if it's to everybody or if it's just a paid tier. I haven't tried it out myself. I was a little underwhelmed with what I saw initially, but I saw it like the day that they announced it.
I remember seeing it, because you could actually customize your character's look, and you could get down in a first person view or a third person view of your character.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that. But I don't know. I couldn't remember if it was actually finalized or done.
Now, what I see is kind of Roll20-ish.
Oh, this was not supposed to be Roll20. It was supposed to be 100% 3D.
That you could zoom in. That was announced when they were talking about 1D&D. I have yet to see anything to that effect. I think we're a little while out before they release that.
Yeah, I was wondering if that if they moved forward with that any, because that was when we were like, that's going to be really cool. And then I was like, then of course all the D&D stuff happened and everybody's like, oh, well, shit, fuck that. So I'm just kind
of curious. They don't even have it up anymore. They must have just had it temporarily because it's no longer available. They had my encounters and my maps. And now they don't have it anymore, so they must have taken it off of the site.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be one of the things that was going to be introduced with 1D&D, or D&D 1, whichever one I wanted to call it. Can't remember what it was.
Oh, no, it's still there. There's not a way to click to it. Weird. Yeah, D&D Beyond maps, and then you can select which, like, you can add a pre-made campaign, and then... or like your character campaign and just load that in there so that everybody can access that. That might be something I'll play around with in the future, but right now it's in alpha. So
all right, so we only got like 10 minutes left. So your best character, I'll go with Mizzy, your most memorable best character.
For me right now, it's still Alamur, my Kenku rogue. Because
I remember that rogue.
What kind of rogue? Yeah.
Hold on. Soul Knife.
Ooh, that's one I've never experienced. Tell us now, more about.
About that, we had turned level 4. I selected Soul Knife, and then Gonzo blew me up with a fireball.
Gonzo.
Because it was good for the story. Now, he did ask my permission, so I consented to him killing me in a fireball manner for the story. But Alamur's still my favorite because I had little Verdam brothers and we were brothers and we fought violence with more violence and it was great and I loved it.
I called an Aster first before I did anything.
Yes.
I said, hey, I'd like to kill you for story reasons. Are you okay with this? And she was like, okay.
So at first I said, why do you want to kill me? The audacity. But then I got to thinking about it and I was already mourning my character. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm going through the grief anyway. Let's do it. So yeah, murder suicide type thing.
Oh my,
she got captured by the big bad, the BBG, and the BBG was going to kill her for story reasons, so it made the characters more interested in the campaign than just getting loot.
Yes.
Because her character was actually really well liked by quite a few people in the campaign.
Everybody loved Alamur. I had two brothers. And Sam and Dean.
Of course.
Now, even though that's still my favorite, I am getting very attached to Zed-ish in Nerd's campaign. And I'm really liking how that story is developing. So, which that character has also sparked a series of other characters that I am in the middle of building right now for shenanigan reasons.
I may or may not have made a Bunbarian.
I love it.
My favorite character is going to be the one that I have tattooed on my forearm, which is going to be Pink Eye. She was a goblin College of Spirits bard / aberrant mind sorcerer. So she was telepath that talked to ghosts, but she had a propensity for, you know, befriending and releasing demons in Avernus and sticking her fingers in demon ichor, which would mutate her in various ways. The first time it turned her ears into wings, the second time it doubled the size of her head like a Funko Pop.
Oop.
She almost got killed the instant she got introduced. I pop out of a trash pile, and the paladin goes, "Are you evil?" "Yes."
Which, if the paladin asks if you're evil, it's sort of like if you ask if you're a god.
You say yes.
Yes. But I ended up just referring to the Warforged Paladin as mommy the entire campaign. And I, so Daryl was my DM. I was originally going to play a Firbolg Druid. And Daryl goes, if you play a goblin, I'll give you a bottomless bag of glitter they think is plague powder. And I went, done.
Sold.
So I was gong slapping with a handful of glitter the butt of the Warforged as often as I could. And called her mommy all the time. The player playing the paladin was like half my age.
That just makes it even better.
Oh, I know.
It's so delightful.
What about you?
I have two. One of them was a paladin named Mintic, and he was... We did a Ruins of Undermountain campaign back when it was second edition. And we actually made an adventuring party that, you know, our job was to find Ruins of Undermountain.
Okay.
Hey, who's the follow? Sounds like someone followed us.
FNixy3.
Thank you for the follow.
Yeah.
And Prairie Dog.
001. But no, I had a paladin named Mintic, and he was a lot of fun. And it was like one of my first paladins. And he was not a leader, but a council member of an adventuring party that went to Ruins of Undermountain. And that's all we did. That was the entire campaign, which was great and fun. One of my favorite campaigns. I also had a guy that wanted to play his own world. And the thing about the own world was the races didn't know each other. And so we were all kind of learning about each other. And so we couldn't know anybody else's language.
Oh.
And so you can only learn your racial language, and that was it. And so we had to all learn how to communicate, you know, without using common.
Interesting.
It was actually pretty interesting and pretty fun. I played an elven ranger named Ferith, and I was the only elf in the party, and there was a halfling and a human. Mm-hmm. And eventually the halfling and the human got to be able to talk to each other, but for the longest time, I had to learn how to speak common with the game. And so it was a lot of our first, like, 3 or 4 sessions was a lot of hand gesturing, you know, trying to get each other to, you know, communicate properly and figure out what each other were doing type stuff. But I played an elven archer ranger, and it was really fun. It was a really fun campaign because eventually we all got to learn each other's language, and so we were able to communicate easier. But it was a lot of fun to, you know, not know each other's language, try to get each other to figure out what we wanted to do per the game.
Rusty, welcome in.
Rusty, I was gonna say, nerd, your friend is here.
Yay.
So
Rusty's going to be coming in as a guest spot at some point.
Okay. We got to get through the one that we're doing right now.
Oh, I know. Oh, don't worry. This one's been planned out.
Okay.
Rusty's already even made his character and everything. We're good.
All right.
He runs his own homebrew, too.
Okay. That gives me hope that we're going to survive this, you know, if we don't fuck around and find out.
You'll fuck around and find out, I know.
Of course. I've already fucked around and I'm about to find out.
I'll fuck around and find out. So, but that was one of my favorite characters was my paladin, because it was like my first paladin, and I was trying to learn how to, you know, what's funny is, you know, Mizzy always jokes with me, I've never got to play a bard, ever. In my entire time I played D&D, I've never got to play a bard. And I've been dying to play a bard for so many years, but haven't been able to. Nobody has openings.
Fnixie, let me get you a link to that Discord. It says our Discord link is invalid in the bio.
What? We just...
Hold on.
That should be a permanent link, so I don't know what the deal is.
Okay.
Try that one.
We'll have to wait and see. Okay.
Yeah, it said the one in the bio, not the one in our...
Oh, okay. So probably the bio. Okay. So. All right.
That's an easy fix for Gonzo.
Yeah, I can fix that while we're talking. So, okay. We'll switch over to the media cam. We can talk about some other stuff. And we can talk about some characters some more. But my paladin was really fun, and I really enjoyed my paladin a lot. He lived to a ripe age of, like, 9th level, and then we ended the campaign. So my...
So now he's in purgatory.
Do what?
So now he's in purgatory?
No, we just never got to finish the campaign. We played a campaign that was called Ruins of Undermountain, and we made character trees. For people who don't know what a character tree is, you make one character. Then you make four other characters along with it. And when character one levels up, one of the other four characters level up. And so what it is, you know, you've got four backup characters in case your character dies. Type thing. But here's the problem with our Ruins of Undermountain. We were doing it, we were getting it, and we were having a lot of things going on and so on and so forth. And we actually started hiring adventurers to clean out parts of the Ruins of Undermountain. And so we became an adventuring group, an adventuring guild, and we like bought things and bought different areas and so on and so forth. So it just came around to, you know, it became an adventuring guild. And we hired other people to do our stuff. We actually had our own personal graveyard at one point in Waterdeep because we actually had so many people dying because we were sending them into the wrong spots. We actually hired a dwarven army to clean out one part of the Ruins of Undermountain, and like none of them came back. Like 200 dwarves.
Those poor dwarves.
Yeah. So, and that was one of my funnest campaigns, but. Yeah, I actually never been able to play a bard. And I've always wanted to play a bard.
So why are you not playing a bard for our one shot?
Because I didn't want to play a bard for this one shot.
You want to play a bard for a campaign?
I want to play a bard for a campaign.
Too bad I don't have bards in my world. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But no, the Ruins of Undermountain campaign was actually really, really fun. We actually rented out warehouses, and we had places that we had, you know, headquarters. Then we actually had somebody that their druid, I think, got cursed and turned into a mouse. And so we actually had to pay him because he was on the council. And so anytime we had a council meeting, the druid would be up there as a mouse because we couldn't get rid of the curse. And his entire room was made out of cheese, and he just built tunnels through the cheese because he had his own bank account, and he would just like buy shit. We don't know how. We would just have other things do stuff. And we actually had to have our own personal graveyard. We actually got called the Lords of Undermountain, and the Lords of Waterdeep took notice to us at one point, and we got in trouble with them for a bit. So we had to do it, but it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of blasts with that. And my Paladin Mintic was the first character, and he was not the lawful stupid. He was the lawful good that was like, yes, you can still do bad things, but there better be a good consequences of why you're doing that bad thing. But this is old school, you know, D&D second edition, before you could play, you know, whatever you wanted, and you had to be human. You couldn't be any other race, so it was, you know, a challenge. Set. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a blast.
I forgot about one other character that I played. I'll make this real quick. I played, it was in a Dragonlance inspired homebrew, and I was a gully dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
That's very
mastermind unique. Rogue.
Gully dwarf.
Named
awesome.
Boo Earns. She had an intelligence of 6. She spoke in 1 to 3 word sentences. She'd be like, bad guy, stabby, blood. And like, if you were asking her, like, if you were like interrogating her about what was happening, she'd get scared if you said her name too loud. She would collect random animals that she would find in dungeons, like chickens or rats or things of that variety.
Nice. I like it.
All right.
You've got to listen to the audiobook. Because Boopoo.
I've got it on hold. It's just going to be a few weeks.
You're going to enjoy Boopoo.
Mm-hmm. yes you are.
Yeah, you will enjoy Boopoo. So all right, so let's go to media section. I don't have a lot. I did finally finish the Dead Boy Detectives.
Let's talk about it, Gonzo.
So I don't mind it. It's not bad. The characters are fine. There is an overarching plot about the whole thing, but there's a lot of, a lot of one-shot stories that goes along with this. And so it's kind of like the Hardy Boys meet Sandman, you know, meet Supernatural.
Okay.
And there's nothing, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with this show. I didn't have any issues. There wasn't anything that made me go, this sucks, or I got bored. I will tell you one of the characters in this,
Esther Finch.
Yeah, Esther Finch.
The bad bitch.
She is an evil, cold-hearted bitch, but goddamn, she is sexy in the show. And I'm like watching this, and I'm like, I know I'm not supposed to like the bad guy, but damn, I like this bad guy. She's got great style. She was a breakout performance in this for me because she played it to the hilt. I mean, when she was on screen, she knew how to chew lines and just make herself be the badass, which was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed her character on screen more than anything. All the characters were fun and dandy. It was nice to see things happen. It does leave on a cliffhanger. Not going to spoil the cliffhanger. But the thing is, I'm not sure if it's going to get renewed. I was looking at some stats, because you know me, and it's not getting a crap ton of views, which kind of sucks. I mean, like they said, it's gotten like 4 million views, which is considered not a lot nowadays. And in the days of streaming, they could just not do it. And since it's not owned by Netflix, you know, they're not going to, you know, spend the money for it. So I don't know if it's going to get renewed. Overall, the entire series, a lot of fun, a lot of cool characters, a lot of heart feels, a lot of, you know, it is very much geared toward women than anything else, especially bisexual women. I can tell you that.
Yes.
Yes.
No lies detected.
Yeah. Very much you can tell that there was an audience they went for, and it is more geared towards the female viewing audience and a male viewing audience. I still enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I thought it was good fun. Had some good lines in it. I hope they get another season at it, because I'd like to see like a good story arc and get things resolved. But I give it like a 1 to 1.5 space RP. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'm going to give it a 0.5 because I love it so goddamn much. And I think everybody needs to watch this.
Yeah, it does. So, it does need a second season.
Yes.
So you're saying you're the target audience, Mizzy?
Yes, I am. Unashamed such. Yes, I am very much the target audience.
Yes.
Eric and I tore this show up. And if you know anything about Erica, it's that it's very hard to get her to watch a show. We binged this thing in less than a week.
Wow.
So
and it's only 8 episodes, so it's not a hard binge.
Yeah. I was gonna say that's pretty average for Netflix shows these days.
Yeah. So 0.5. Go watch it.
All right. I watched Argylle finally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So Sam Rockwell, love him.
Yep.
Yes.
He was absolutely delightful. I wanted to rip that hairdo off of Henry Cavill's head, both at the beginning and at the end. I think the cat was really the star of the show. I did enjoy it. I wanted a little more from it, but in terms of like turning the spy genre on its head, I thought it was a fun play on the tropes of the genre. And Bryce Dallas Howard was delightful.
You did see where it is canonically in the Kingsman universe, yes?
I believe it.
No, it is.
It is.
Yeah, I did not see that, but I believe that.
It was after the credit scene. Yeah, it was an after credit scene.
We didn't watch the after credit scene because we didn't know it existed.
Yeah, there's an after credit scene.
Go back up.
And
go watch the after credit scene.
It is officially okay. In the Kingsman universe.
I mean, it's the same director, so that makes sense. But yeah, no, I thought it was a lot of fun. Was it a masterpiece?
Nah.
But I'm kind of glad that I didn't pay to see it in the theater. Like I'm sure it would have been fun, but I had just as much fun watching it at home. And John Cena was adorable as always. How was my Dua Lipa?
She was fine.
Oh, is she the one at the beginning?
Yeah,
the blonde. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering why she looked familiar. But yeah, I think my favorite part was them throwing the cat off the roof.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not going to tell you why they throw a cat off a roof, but they throw a cat off a roof.
Oh, to test to see if the thing was down there.
I give it like a half to one base art piece.
I'd agree with that.
Gonzo?
I finally caught up on Discovery. And the last two episodes were okay. There was more character building and stuff in it, which is fine. It's not a problem, but I'm really like, I hope they don't like squish all the good story into like one or two episodes and it feels rushed. That's my kicker. I hope they don't do that. I hope they kind of space it out more and we get more from it. Cause it sounds like since it's going to be the last season and what they're doing, they've only got like one or two episodes left of finishing the story arc, maybe three. And we're like episode 6, I think, right now.
Okay.
So I just hope they don't, you know, condense it all and make it, you know, rushed. So we'll have to wait and see. I still like it. I still love the crew. They're bringing back like everybody to do cool things and, you know, cause I know it's their final hurrah. So, I'm hoping that, you know, we don't have to wait too long for, the other Star Trek. What is it called? Brave New World? No.
Strange New World.
Strange New World. I hope we don't have to wait too long for that to come out. Cause I really want, I like that a lot. The characters in there are really, really good. So hopefully we won't have to wait too long for Strange New Worlds after Discovery is done. So we'll wait and see. Oh, yeah. Nurse Chapel and Spock. Oh, yeah. Can't wait for it. Mizzy?
I finished Resident Alien today. All of it. Finally. And? Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
I love this show so damn much. It is insane. It's shenanigans. Normally, I avoid space shows because space freaks me out. But I love this show. I love this. The Alan Tudyk sells it for me. Like, that man is just amazing. Season 3 was kind of meh, but at the same time, it did progress the story for me, which I did like. I yelled at my TV when I finished it today because of the ending. I'm not going to spoil it because it's still new. But yep. Yeah.
I haven't gotten there yet, so.
I love this show. Highly recommend it. I'm going to give it a 1 as an overall, like, all 3 seasons, because, yes. And I really need a season 4.
Yeah, I don't even know if we're getting a season. It hasn't been renewed yet.
I really am hopeful for season 4. I'm going to put that positive energy out in the universe. Just like I'm going to put that positive energy for Dead Boy Detectives, because I need more of that. Thank you.
I have been continuing to watch... Oh, sorry. What was your rating on it?
For the season or for all of it?
All of it.
1. A 1. Because Alan Tudyk, man.
Yeah.
Love that man.
Oh, yeah. I've been a fan since Knight's Tale.
Yes.
That's
Hello, it's called Lance.
He was amazingly funny in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that man does
or
is just
or
is
Steve
gold.
The Pirate in Dodgeball.
Yeah. He's an amazing actor. I love his physical comedy.
I'm going to review season 2 of Ted Lasso. I'm sick of crying every episode. Every episode.
But is it I'm hurting
so
crying
good.
Or beautiful crying?
Oh, it's crying because other people are crying. But the emotion just gets it's the emotional connection with the characters.
Yes.
And it does such a good job of that. And also identifying with, like, when Ted starts having panic attacks. Like, I identified with that so hard.
Yeah.
And just the compassion that everybody shows each other in that show. Like, I wish that was real life. Like, you can find those people in real life. But it's such a well-written show. Also, I loved the episode where you just follow Coach Beard for a night.
That's so fun.
Yeah. I keep bouncing around on who my favorite character is. I have yet to pin it down because they're just like, it changes from episode to episode. Like I said earlier, I never thought I would cry to a Rickroll.
But here you are.
Yes, yet here I am. I give it 0, just like the first season. It's so good. It's so good. I am not a sports person, and I freaking love this show.
Oh, that's what I tell everybody.
You don't have to be a sports person.
No, but I mean...
And that's what I assumed. That was the biggest turnoff at the beginning was, A, I couldn't stand his accent. Now I love it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about soccer, and I'm like, I don't care.
I tell people that all the time. They're like, I'm not into sports shows. I go, this is not a sports show.
Yeah.
This is a human emotion show.
This is about human connection. Gonzo, what have you done to me?
Yeah. The ending of the show is just perfect.
Don't tell her!
I'm not gonna, I know you're... But the ending of it is just spot on. You know what's funny is this was a Saturday Night Live skit originally.
Really?
Yes, his character was like a Saturday Night Live skit, and then it branched out, and then it got big and everything. So, it was really good. Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows of all time. Oh. Going to Xander's.
Xander.
Yeah, I was gonna say, should we talk about that, Gonzo?
Did everybody catch up on X-Men? I know Mizzy
yes.
and I
yes.
did. Okay, yeah. So the newest episode of X-Men.
God fucking damn it.
Fuck yeah! I'm gonna tell you right now, I am all for this one. Best part of the entire show, I don't care what anybody says, is the Wolverine and Nightcrawler fight.
Yeah,
that fight scene was badass. I have been a Nightcrawler fan since I saw him in the first comic. And he has been my number one hero of all time.
Let me guess, you haven't? Yep.
Did you even have to ask?
Yeah. I've got Nightcrawler toys, I've got the limited edition comics. I've got Nightcrawler all over the place. I mean, he is my man. I love
They ruined my favorite character.
You'll have to wait. And this fight scene, as soon as the scene was pushed over and they showed the swords land on the ground, I'm like, yep, here it comes. Here it comes. And I fucking love this. I love this episode. We won't give it a spoiler on it yet, but the ending of it is a storyline that fans have been asking for a long time. And since it's, you know, here and the storyline is here, people are like, it's about time. We need to see this storyline. And yeah, it's in comic book type thing, but this is a storyline that's been waiting to happen at the screen. The action, the explosions, all the things. I always said, fuck yeah. And this brings me back to childhood. Like, that was the dumbest but coolest shit in the world to see on screen.
Oh, yeah.
Let's show them what the summer.
Absolutely obsessed with the show as a kid.
Yes. And then now there's like, let's show them what the summers can do. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And then, you know, all that stuff happened. So, yeah. This show still gets a zero from me.
Yeah, same.
It
100%.
100%. It is a great cartoon. It does X-Men right. It does the story right. It does the characters right.
They've got the voice cast.
Yeah. I mean, everything about this is perfect.
The villains are fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Everything's really good. We'll just have to wait and see if they keep it going. I'm sure it's going to get renewed for another season. If it doesn't, they're idiots.
Can y'all start watching One Herpy stuff again?
Hey, this is One Herpy stuff. You want us to watch Five Herpy stuff. It's just really, really good TV. A really, really good cartoon. And it's not a lot of bullshit. There's not a lot of filler in the episode. It's like there's a reason behind every scene, which is good.
Oh my God, you're right. That was Ace of Base in there.
So.
Xander's like, hearing Ace of Base in the story shook me. Yeah.
So, I highly, it's been zero space RPs. Mizzy?
Zero.
Zero.
I ain't got time to waste on Five Space Herpy stuff, Cookie.
Oh, if you want me to watch Five Space Herpy, just wait till I watch Velocipaster, because it's going to happen at some point.
Oh, dear Lord.
I've heard nothing except for how ridiculous it is. So it's kind of one of those I'll put on in the background. But, yeah. All right, anything else that you guys watched this week?
I finished Renegade Nell.
Okay.
Last week. This show took a very interesting turn that I did not see coming. But I'm not mad about it.
Did you notice that Nate from Ted Lasso is a fairy?
Yes, I did.
I was watching it with my roommate. She's like, wait, is that Nate? And I'm like, holy crap, it is.
I had basically the same reaction, but internally, because Erica hasn't watched Ted Lasso.
Oh.
So I'm sitting there, and he comes on the screen, and I'm like, wait a damn minute. Google it. Yep, that's him.
Yep.
But, him with longer hair.
Yeah, no. I loved it. The soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah.
Everything is just... I love it. It's a great story. Acting was... You know, it was good. I got hit in my feels episode one and cried my eyeballs out. Thanks, Gonzo.
I warn everybody. I'm like, get ready.
You did not warn me about that one. I had to find that out on my own. But anyway, so yes, episode one feels. But it gets better and it gets to be super amazing. You get a really good story out of it. I recommend it. I'm going to give it... A one.
I forgot about one from a couple weeks ago that we didn't have time to review. I rewatched Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first time I watched that, I was not expecting the political drama plot line. Like, I was expecting, like, a fairy tale, not this dark, twisted experience of a movie that is Pan's Labyrinth. Like, there's a reason Guillermo del Toro's become one of my absolute favorite directors. And it did not disappoint a second time around. Like, I haven't watched it in almost a decade, and watched it again a couple weeks ago, and it was just, oh, so, so good. I give it, like, I'll give it one, because it's, for me, a little graphic.
Oh, yeah.
But the story is beautiful. Just absolutely fantastical. Gonzo, you got any more?
Got one last one, and Xander had mentioned it. Bad Batch series ending was this week. For people who don't know, Bad Batch is about Squad 99, a group of clones that have, you know, personality. You know, they're not a copy of everything. And I was never a big Clone Wars, you know, person. But I knew about Bad Batch, and I'd watched Clone Wars. It wasn't like my, oh my God, this is the greatest, you know, Star Wars stuff ever. But the Bad Batch, it was fun. The characters are very entertaining. The characters are very fun. I just didn't know how they were going to end it, because you really couldn't end this series with, you know, what was going on. And it's not like they left any plot holes open. It just wasn't a, how do you end something that's like this? And that's the problem. You really can't. And the ending they gave for it, there wasn't this, you know, big fanfare. It was just there. Rumor is that they might do a spinoff with it in some of the earlier other episodes, but we'll have to wait and see.
Now, this is animated, right?
Correct. One of the characters may be in a spinoff in some other Star Wars stuff. We're just waiting to see. So, we're just waiting. Overall, Bad Batch wasn't bad. It's like one and a half type thing. So, it wasn't horrible. But, you know, if you like Clone Wars, you'll like the Bad Batch. I did want to talk about something that came out, which was the newest Alkalite trailer for Star Wars. We've got it coming out in June, and Alkalite is 100 years before the prequels. So when the Jedi were really prevalent. If you haven't seen the trailer for it, you got to see it. There's two trailers out there. They're very kind of similar. Acolyte. And pretty much it's like the start of the Sith is what you can tell. You know me. I am a fucking nerd for space wizards. I love my space wizards. I love my, you know, lightsaber wielding, you know, space wizards. And this is when they were in their, you know, very high form, very, you know, powerful group, you know, trying to right the wrongs. And this is a story about Jedi being murdered. And it looks like it's going to be the start of the Sith story, which I'm good. Yeah, Carrie Ann Moss is one of the Jedis in this. And I don't expect to see her very often in this. I think she's going to be the one that's killed. But that's just me. I'm looking forward to this more than anything. I love my, you know, my Jedi. I cannot wait to see this. Because this is not just one Jedi or two Jedi. This is when the Jedi were very, very big and very prevalent. So they, like one scene, there's like eight Jedis ready to fight.
Damn.
So it looks a lot of fun. I'm a big sucker for that stuff. So hopefully it'll come through. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it comes through really well.
Well, you did buy another lightsaber, so of course you are.
Yeah. I did buy a second lightsaber. That is my second lightsaber from Ultra Saber, so I'll have to wait and see. Other than that, I don't have anything else. Anybody else got anything they want to talk about?
I think that's it.
Is that it? Guys, That is our show. But before we go, make sure you remember on Wednesday night, Nerd and I do a painting stream where we talk about what we're painting on, get painting hips, and just bullshit because it helps us keep us sane doing the painting. And yeah. We, you know, go and send things and do stuff. Also, our 300th episode is coming up. We've got that. And we will be doing a one-shot RPG. Which I have a feeling about this one shot. And we're going to be playing, Nerd is going to be running myself, Captain Mizzy, and John through Oops All Podcast episode. And we've got everything set up, ready to go whenever we're ready to do it. So other than that, I think, let's see, who are we going to send you off to? Who do we got up here? Well, send you to Monster Den Minis. He's doing some art.
Ed.
So, guys, please take care of yourself. Please look after each other. And as always, if you hear something, say something. If you see something, say something. And if you can do something, do something. If you can't, find someone who will, because we need to take care of each other more than ever. For More Than Dice, I'm Gonzo.
I'm Nerd.
I'm Captain Mizzy.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to More Than Dice, making the world a better, nerdier place, one dumb joke at a time. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. For more nerdy action or to connect with your hosts, check them out on facebook.com/morethandice and twitch.tv/more_than_dice. Until next time, stay nerdy, stay proud, and we'll see you soon on the More Than Dice podcast.